Hi, this is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report. On today's show, we have ESET researcher Cameron Camp. Hi, Cameron. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Matt. Great to be here.
So, you know, I wanted to discuss the fact that Japan's defense ministry, I guess, is reportedly building a kind of self-replicating virus, if you will. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yes, and I'd like to give a little bit of background on that. It's been called various things, but basically the idea is, to give a background, is that the, you know, rather than waiting for an attack to actually hit and cripple your infrastructure, some countries, not just allegedly Japan, but Finland, Sweden, have considered actually going after the guy or the attacker themselves and proactively stopping them. That's the idea.
And is this even possible, I guess?
Well, this is harkens back to the notion of good malware. That's a sort of a catchphrase that was discussed mid-90s, really. And can we use malicious software to do, you know, to get bad guys? And the problem there is that you would basically, well, there's several problems. I'm going to sort of break that down for people who are not familiar with the concept, or people that think, well, gee, there's a lot of it out there now anyway. It's problematic because as a nation, if you are distributing what is essentially borderline malicious software, it has to trick operating systems in many of the same ways that bona fide bad actors do. And when it does that, it's likely to trip up existing software that's installed for protection. Plus the fact that once it's out there in the wild, more other programmers can change it to do different things than what it was originally intended. And what happens if that becomes known that a government did that and bad press comes back on the government? What do they do?
Right. You'd think that the term good malware is almost a bit of an oxymoron. I mean, you'd think it'd be able to be leveraged in a malicious way, you know, in some fashion.
Well, you know, this is the same thing as traditional kinetic attacks, you know, where cops have dressed up in disguises and gone after the bad guys. And there's always a fine line in that kind of thing. It's something that people are considering. I think the important things for people listening to this is that countries are toying with the ideas. And whatever their claim is, in fact, we saw in one example that a country wanted to go on the offense and basically pierce the anonymizing technology that the scammers use, and they sort of claim that they could do that. If that's true, then it's first of all, it's sort of tough to believe, because that would mean that all the whistleblowers and the hacktivists and the hackers out there would be already, you know, being surveilled and being caught, and yet we still see an awful lot of them that are actively hacking, actively whistleblowing, etc. So it's fairly hard to believe that they've broken into the technology,
right,
and are able to, at least at this point, do what they say.
Well, I mean, but if you had a virus, I guess they could look at a cyber attack, analyze it, and maybe even identify it. You think that that might be something that could stop, let's say, a Stuxnet. I mean, I guess conceptually, that's the idea. But realistically, do you think it could?
Well, Stuxnet was a little bit different of an idea, although it has some of the elements from what we're talking about here. It's a bit of a cookie recipe. And Stuxnet combined a zero-day threat along with some other technologies that allowed it to be delivered to a very specific target. So that was someone going after a very specific, from what we can tell, target, which looks like the Iranian enrichment program. This other offensive defense from a country, you know, how much of that can they make work? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it seems to me, you know, that the idea or this concept of cyber warfare is really heating up. And I mean, I guess you'd think that self-replicating code and these type of viruses might actually play an important role in an industry's both offense and defense?
Well, it most certainly will. And in fact, we note that in the naval colleges in Annapolis and the Naval Academy in the U.S., they're actually teaching several different courses on cybersecurity, cyber warfare. That's going to take on a bit of a bent of offensive and defensive sort of combination. And countries have to wrestle with what that means in the to the legislation. Should we, for example, to use a term, preemptively stop an attack when that's a little bit of a wild card and could have some potentially serious blowback? But clearly the many of the governments worldwide right now are taking the issue quite seriously and really thinking about it. Some people have floated the idea that we may have another branch of the service just for cyber warfare. North Korea is training special forces in this area. You recall back in the U.S. in the early days, there was the Army Air Corps, and the air component became so significant they created the Air Force. I don't think we're that far away from doing the same thing with cyber warfare. Easier to hire a room full of hackers than it is to buy a pallet full of Sidewinder missiles.
No, absolutely. And so I guess just to kind of to wrap it up here and get your opinion, is a good virus a good idea? Or do you think that this could be a very bad idea that could lead to unexpected, you know, attacks or spreading randomly?
I think the shiny wrapper and the shiny brochure sounds really good. I think when people really get down and to drill into it, I think there's a lot of potential catastrophic blowback that we would see. For example, one scenario, let's say they have a super piece of malware they send out, and a hacker hacks it apart, sends it back, modifies it so it does really do bad things, and then they attribute the government. Now the government's got to take responsibility for a hack piece of their hacking that got out. It sets a crazy chain of events.
Well, Cameron, as always, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us and give your opinion on this topic. If you have any questions for Cameron or another member of the ESET research team, feel free to email them at askeset@eset.com. You can also follow and like ESET on Facebook for the latest news. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report.